You may be seated. I do want to get started early tonight. There are some things that I do want to point out tonight in Scripture. I want to take my time because I think it's vitally important that we understand what you're always saying in this hour. And we must know that it is Him that is speaking unto us, and not some form of tradition or our own carnal mind. Because we tend to choose and to pick those things off the smorgasbord that we delight in, and there are things that we reject. We must adhere to what the Father says unto us. What is He speaking in this hour by His Spirit? I believe what He says is the truth, and we must adhere to that. There's one thing that I realize as I search the Scriptures, I seek to understand His profound plan for our lives, and that is His name is revealed in His body, and that He may be made known unto His people. When He speaks unto them, they may know that it is Him, and not their own carnal mind, their own conscious speaking unto them, that produces nothing but vanity. The Scripture says, even the wise man's, his thoughts are full of vanity. They're nothing but vain thoughts. They have no power to them at all. And so in the midst of that, I do want to understand what Yahweh is actually speaking unto His house today. Brother Jeremy, he came into my office today. He was excited about the books that we use in our curriculum here, ACE. I say to you that this generation, it knows that the Father has a name. He was excited about one of the PACE or the ACE booklets that he had embarked upon. And in the midst of that, he found an article in the midst of the text. This was in geography, one of his geography PACEs. And this is what it says now. He was excited, so he showed Brother Allen. He wanted me to have a copy of this, as even Yahweh showed the young man. Now, what it does, it deals with the area of Palestine. It's right there in the book that we buy from what we call a Christian establishment. And it says here, it asks the question, where did Abraham live before he left Palestine? Abraham and his people traveled through what to Palestine? Question 3, where did Terah die? It says here, Bethel. Abraham and his family went to Palestine, and they pitched their tents in Bethel, where Abraham built an altar, it says, to Yahweh. In parentheses, it has God. And this is in our pace. And this world knows. I will show you that they do know. They simply reject it. It says here, where did Abraham build the altar? Question 4, where did Abraham build the altar to Yahweh? And in parentheses, it has God. But they know His name. Where did he build that? It says in the latter part, return to Palestine, Abraham, Lot, Sarah. Return to Bethel, where Abraham set up the worship of Yahweh again. Now, this is the material that we purchased from ACE for our school. This not had been altered. Brother Jeremy didn't alter that. It is just a fact, and it's there. Man rejects that truth because of our own traditions and our own carnal ways. Now, what I have here, it's what they call one of the copies of the Interlinear Bible. Now, what the Interlinear is, it is a Bible. I have 4 books like this. It has the Greek and the Hebrew in there. So on one side, you will see the Hebrew writing. You see that? And on the other side, I want all you all to see that. Look up. That's the Hebrew. And on this side, it has the King James Bible. That's what it is. This is an Interlinear. It tries to give you an in-depth understanding of actual words that were enunciated in the King James. Now, J.P. Green doesn't believe in the name of Yahweh, but he knows the name. I will show you this, what it says in this book, the Interlinear Bible. He says here, first of all, listen. He said, may God be with you as you use these volumes to accelerate your growth in grace and your knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's emphatic about that name, Jesus Christ, and God and Lord. He goes on to say, now this is one of the little prefaces in this book, that he is a renowned theologian, J.P. Green. And he goes on to say in this book, this is what he says, right here. I have it highlighted, all right? This is the words of J.P. Green. I want you to hear this. He says, because of the vagueness of Hebrew tense, which is the same in both parts of the sentence, he's talking about Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. He says other renderings are possible, but in our opinion, none better than I am that I am. When Yahweh said, when Moses said, who do I tell the children of Israel, sent me? And he declares to them, tell him that I am that I am. So he says that this is the best rendition, or in our opinion, to enunciate that. Now listen to what he says. Listen closely. He says the name Jehovah is, of course, an English word, which is based on the Masoret choice of writings. They so revered his holy name that they wrote the vowel of the word signifying Lord, Adonai, with the consonant of the name which God gave to himself, Yahweh, resulting in, he spells out the characters in Hebrew. He says, Jehovah, or as some prefer to render it, Yahweh. As some prefer to render it, Yahweh. The consonant begins in the Hebrew properly transliterated Yahweh. In the history of English language, however, the J has a written counterpart in Germany, J, although the letter J in Germany is pronounced like an English Y. The bulk of theological studies have come from German sources. There has been an intermixed usage in English of J and the Y. Other English translations of the Bible reflect this. So we have chosen to use J. Thus, Jehovah rather than Yahweh. Because this is established English usage for Bible, for biblical names, beginning with the Hebrew letter. He goes on to say, quote, no one suggests that we ought to change Jacob, Joseph, Jehoshaphat, Joshua, etc., to begin with a Y. And he says emphatically, and neither should we at this late date change Jehovah to Yahweh. Now that is the mindset of this generation. They do know, but they simply reject that truth. So he says it's too late to change that. Well, it's too late to keep the Shabbat or to obey Yahweh. And J.P. Green does not, if you search this rendition, everywhere in the Old Testament where it says God, he uses the word Jehovah. He doesn't use the word Yahweh, but in the Hebrew text in the interlinear, you will find the name of Yahweh written there. Has nothing to do with the Masoretics, how they perceive that his name was unspeakable. He gave a name that he may be known by. And he has a name, and his name is Yahweh. Now that is what I want to emphasize tonight, that singular pronoun, his. It simply means that one, that it is that one that possess or belongeth unto him or himself. So if one say, this is my house, or this is his house, we know who the house belongs unto. And so if he say, this is my name, or this is his name, then we understand that the one that you are talking about, it belongs to that one. I will establish something before I get into the depth of that. It is either he has a name or he doesn't. Somehow that this was allowed, as they understand that they know that he has a name, and they know the name of the Heavenly Father is Yahweh. They understand that. As I said to you, in this religious establishment, they do know his name. There's document after document. As J.P. Green says, it's too late to change it. It is not too late to change it. It's right to change it. It's not wrong to change it. It's wrong if we don't change it. If we have the knowledge of this truth, you are taken away from his identity. You are robbing him of his identity. And a part of his name, or they are characteristics of his name, that the scriptures tells us, the scriptures tell us that they are characteristics of his name, and they are denoted in that enunciation of his name. That is the only way you're going to know the power or the understanding of that. And so here we find in the geography book of our ACE, the very name of Yahweh. Well, they use it for historical value, but that is his name. They use it for a historical thing, for historical events, but that is the actual name of the Father. And as he did with Israel, he brought them out into a place that they may know his name. That was the first thing that Moses inquired of. Who should I tell them sent me? And what is now his name? He must have a name. And there is a name that is associated with the Father. Glory. I would have begun reading. I want you to turn to the scriptures too, because I want you to hear what the text says. Glory. I want to begin reading at Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1. And I'm going to read it just the way it is in that text you're handling. Isaiah 52, verse 1 through verse 6. The scripture says, awaken, awaken, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. From henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. We are rapidly moving toward that period of time. That which is unclean and uncircumcised shall not enter into the holy city of Almighty Yahweh. That which is unclean and unrighteous, it will not be able to receive the clean truth of the righteousness of Almighty Yahweh. He says in verse 2, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Now, Jerusalem is the captive daughter of Zion. She's been bound about with fetters on her neck. She's been bound about with chains of bondage. And those are the things, our tradition, our ethnicity, our races, those things have bound us. And Proverbs tells us that we ought to bind the law of Yahweh around our necks and not the bondage of this world. And today the people are bound in the bondage of this world. And so loose the binds of the things that hold down the daughter of Zion. He says, for thus saith now the Lord, we have sold yourself, ye have sold yourself for naught, ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, that I have here, what do I have here, saith Yahweh, saith the Lord,
that my people is taken away for naught, that they that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continuously every day is blasphemed. Now what name is blasphemed? The Lord's. We'll receive that for the moment. Verse 6, he says this, therefore, my people shall. A confirmation there. He said, they shall, my people, only his people now. Do you hear that? Do you understand that? He said, therefore, my people. Do you hear that, saints? He did not say the world. He said, therefore, my people, my called out elect, my chosen one, my people shall. Confirmation, know my name. Now, what is his name? He said, my people shall know my name. What is the name of this Lord God? He is this mighty Lord God. Then what is his name? What name did he convey unto his people? He said, my people shall know my name. And if we're not his people, we will not know his name. Only his people will know his name. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Now, there is a name that my people, the people of Yahweh, must know. Is it Lord God? The world knows that. Is it Lord? Is it God? What is his name? You can reject Yahweh's truth, but it's to your own peril. He begins to reveal unto us with evidence after evidence that he has a name, and the scripture exalts that name. It is because what man has done. Don't tell me men will not corrupt things and pervert things, because Paul said, for 3 years I've cried, I've warned every last one of you, and after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in, and they shall not spare the flock. They have not spared the flock. Yahweh say, my people shall know my name. And when they know his name, he say, they shall know that it is I that speak to them. They will know who is speaking unto them and who is instructing them. So if they will know my name, as he says, then there must be a name for him. And if there's a name for him, then he has a name. Now I want to explore the scriptures and see what it says. See if that is important, his name. Now the scripture says in Luke chapter 1. And verse 13, I'm going to move down through Luke chapter 1. This is what it says. I want to establish something here concerning his name. And see, when that word his name is used, is there a name that is associated with his name? The scripture says in Luke chapter 1 verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. Is that not what it says? For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name. You shall call his name Yohanan. His name shall be called John. There was a son that was born unto Zechariah and Elizabeth. Yahweh says, and ye shall call what? His name. Now, is that not what he says, his name? Ye shall call his name. I want to emphasize his name tonight. And if his name for John was a name, then what is his name? He said, you shall call his name John. That shall be his name, Yohanan. That shall be your son's name. Now it says in verse 30 and verse 31, look closely. And the angel said unto her, same thing as unto Zacharias. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Use that for your expedience. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And his name shall be, and shall call his name, and shall, confirmation, and shall call his name Emmanuel, Yeshua, and he shall call his name. There are two. His name shall be called John. His name shall be called Emmanuel. His name now, we're dealing with that pronoun, his. His name. Now, what is his name? It shows the possession of that name of the seed of Zechariah and Elizabeth. His name shall be John. And the one that was conceived by Almighty Yahweh, his name shall identify the Father's name. Emmanuel. Yahweh with his house or with his people. It says in verse 46, Luke 1, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify God, and my spirit hath rejoiced in Yeshua, my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, and from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And that was what she was talking about that had done a great thing to her. Who did the great thing to her? Who did the great thing to Mary? To conceive a seed in her. It was Almighty Yahweh. And holy is his name. It wasn't done by some angel. It was done by the Father. As she conceived it, she said, Holy is now, listen, his name. Not just a name now, but his name. His name shall be called John. His name shall be called Emmanuel. She said, Holy is his name. Verse 63 in the same chapter. I want to establish this, his name, before I proceed farther. And this Zechariah, when it was time, as Yahweh shut his mouth, and he asked for a writing table, and wrote, saying, His name is, no doubt about that, His name is John, and they marvel all. For it was not the traditional name. It was not according to his lineage. He gave him a name, Yohanda. That was not the norm of his generational structure. And they all marvel at that. And when he received that immediately, he opened Yahweh loose his tongue. Now the scripture says in Luke chapter 2, verse 21 and verse 22. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called. He had a name. And his name was called, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in her womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem, and they presented him unto, I know what it says there, it says God, but they presented him unto Yahweh. He had a name. And they presented him not unto the gods of the heaven. There was one, and they had to call him as they presented him unto him. It was not some pantheism of gods. There was only one, and he was the true divine one that had conceived that one in Mary, and he gave him his name. And his name was pronounced as he gave him his name, as John's name was pronounced, for they had names that were given by him. And so if those were of the his name, then what, when it deals with your way, what is his name? What is his name? John was a son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And so was Messiah, the son of Joseph and Miriam. But he had his name too. So does Messiah. Yahweh has a name as well. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. John 20. It says, and many other signs truly did Yahshua in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Yahshua is the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, and that believing ye might have life through now his name. There is a name that whereby life is through his name. And Yahweh, he is the light of all life, says, in the beginning, as he created all life. So it's in that name, whereby we have, in his name, in that name, we might believe through his name, we might have life in us. This world is dark. This world that calls itself the Christian world, it is full of darkness, full of sin, and full of corruption. No light at all in it. I was telling the saints this morning, as Sister Roberts, Sister Yvonne and I were out of the day, I was listening to this preacher. He's the bishop of Nation Ford Baptist Church, that whorehouse there in Charlotte. He said the first house that he purchased, the payment was $186 a month. He said then the second house he purchased, the payment was $1,800 a month. He said, and he prayed to the Lord about a house. That's how he said it. And there's only one Lord, and Satan is the master, the ruler of man's flesh. That's why he offered Messiah all the kingdoms of the world. Just bow down and worship him. And the preacher said, the house that I live in now, it costs $1,000,000. And the folks with a great applause, they were roused at that. And I sat there. I said, can you imagine, as I said to Sister Roberts, the house payment of a house like that? Even if he put $300,000 down, it's still close to $8,000 a month. I say, can you imagine that? Now that's just the house payment. What about his clothing? And then his children, his wife. What about the vehicles? What does he drive? And not only that, what kind of furniture is in the place? But he said something. He said, I'll tell you something, people. He said, you just don't let anybody in your house. When he was letting that little hard-headed group of Negroes know, you're not just coming to my place. I live in a place that you're not coming. Now, there are just a certain amount of you that I would allow to visit me, but the rest of you all don't even think about it. You're not coming to my house. That is what he was conveying unto them. He said, don't allow anyone, just allow anyone to come in to your house. For they will leave a spirit there in your house. And God doesn't intend for it to be there. May it's either, brothers and sisters, that that man knows something about this divine nature of Yahweh, that I have missed it totally. He has something. He knows something about Yahweh, that he intends for him to have a $1 million house. And if he has a $1 million house, how much does the vehicles outside of the house cost? That's these perverts today, the Robin Goulds and all of them, they live like dogs. And these folks, they go there, they say, oh, we're saved. They're not saved. They're not saved. I don't care what you say. Say what you will. Say what you may. You battle me, but they're not. For Yahweh, you will see in the scripture, he has always brought his people to a place where they were free from all of the cares of this life and the bondage of this life, that they could literally worship him. He has always done that. That's what He desires above all things, is for us to worship Him. That is the power of darkness. That's what Satan offered Messiah. He took him up into the temple and he said, cast yourself down. You know that Yahweh will give His angels charge concerning thee. He said, it is time you shall dash your foot against the stone. They shall bear thee up. And He take him up into a higher mountain. And He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He said, all this in the glory will I give unto you. He didn't lie to him. He said, I'll give it to you if you bow down and you worship me. Nowhere in Scripture where Yahweh gave a man a house like that. As a matter of fact, when Solomon took more time to be in his house than the house of Yahweh, Yahweh was displeased even in that. So you tell me He wants me to live in a $1 million house? That's a sign of my prosperity, my love for Him. That's a sign of my compassion, of my love for this world, and I don't want to leave this world. Moses chose rather to suffer with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pledges of sin of Egypt for the season. So don't tell me that Yahweh does that. Don't tell me we'll give a man a house that's $1 million. And there are little sisters in that place that give every nickel, every dime. And if they get set out, He will not allow them to live in it with His house. In His house. The house was 8,800 square feet of space. Now that's the living quarters. I wonder how large is the garage. With a house like that, you don't buy a car that you park outside. You have a garage whereby you park 3 or 4 vehicles. The people there are blind. They lack a blind leader because they love their sins. They don't want their sins to be revealed, and He's not going to reveal their sins. And that whole little 15, 20 minutes I listened to that man, he never mentioned one sin. He never mentioned the corruption of that house and even his corruption to say that you're always with him. It's either this man knows something that I'm totally lost and you are too. It's either that I know Him and want us to submit ourselves unto Him and to offer our bodies unto Him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. And a man cannot do that living in a place like that. He cannot do it. And he talked about how he came home one day and the house was spotless clean. How beautiful it was. And I said, as I thought, Sister Robert said to me, I'm quite sure his wife did not clean that house. Do you understand that this building, that house, is 5 times bigger than this tabernacle? 5 times? Can you imagine a bedroom this big? What can you put in the bedroom that size? What will it do but collect dust? Now you tell me you always intend for that man to have a $1 million house. It is not so, saints. He's on his way to hell. And he doesn't know the Father. These preachers are preaching under the same unction as Satan promised Messiah. Just bow down and worship me. And they're actually bowing down and they're worshiping Him. For they love the things of this present world. They love these sensual things. And the things of Yahweh, the truth of Yahweh, doesn't excite their heart. That's why many go back to the world. They love these carnal things and these natural things that can never produce life. Can never produce any kind of euphoria at all. Hell and destructions are never full. Neither is the heart of man ever satisfied. Only Yahweh can satisfy the heart of a man. And when Yahweh satisfies the heart of a man, He empties that man of everything that pertains unto him. He divests that man of all of his goals, all of his aspirations, that he may be first in his life. He cannot be first in your life when there are all kinds of goals, when there are all kinds of aspirations. What you want to do, what you desire, He can never be preeminent in your life. He can never be there at the pinnacle of your mind or your thought because there are other gods and there are other things that you want to serve. You want to serve flesh and mammon. And if you serve them, you cannot please Yahweh. You're going to love Him or despise Him and love them, or you're going to despise them and love Him. That's the way it is. So Yahweh doesn't give a man a $1 million house. He doesn't give a man a $500,000 house or $100,000 house. What does a man need? He doesn't need that kind of a house. He simply needs somewhere to live. What can you do with him but eat and sleep and use the restroom? There's nothing else you can do. You don't understand how incestuous people become when they hear that. Now he is the only one that's going to live in that kind of a house there. Then the others will expire to do that and they will sell their souls. They will sell their souls for the trinkets. That's why he said, bow down and worship me. And that's what Satan is doing.
They're bowing down. They love sin. They love the pleasures of sin more than they love your way. They don't know Him, saints. They have a religious persona. That's all that is. But there is no commitment and submission unto Him. Why? Because if it was, you would obey them that have the rule. And Yahweh deals with rule. And He established, before Messiah ascended, He descended. And He gave gifts unto men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to bring about this profound perfection in the midst of the house. Either they have heard something from the voice of Yahweh. He has spoken unto them and revealed something that is so profound, so direct, that as He spoke unto Israel, as He did with Lot, as He was vexed with those wicked people, He brought him out. Even as Abraham said, if there be 50 righteous there. Think about it. We don't think with the mind of Messiah. He said, if there be 50 which is spared. You always say, I will do it. Then He said, well, perfect if there's 40. He said, if there's 40, I'll do it. He said, well, I know you're mighty. Well, what about 30? If there's 30, I will spare. Well, you're the great King, and I don't want to trouble you. What if there's 20? Perfect if there's 20 there, I will spare it. He could have went down to one. He still would have found a righteous one there. It was just Lot was his call, elected one, and He had to drive him from that place. He always said, in perfect of their 10, I will spare the cities and the surrounding plains. And He couldn't find 10. He found Lot. He drove that wicked wife out. She turned back unto her compassion. She became a pillar of salt. She lost her savor. There was no sweetness about her. And the son-in-laws mocked the daughter-in-law, saying, you girls, you go on. I got better things here. And they stayed. And they stayed. He did not have anything worth in that city. It was just because of the covenant with Abraham. He had to bring Lot out. And He brought him out. So it's either they have a profound revelation and a truth. No, I don't want to know their truth. They must have something that Yahweh is dealing with them in such a way, in an individual way, that He has imparted into them a knowledge and a truth. That there will be an unction from their lives and a glorious light that shine bright as the radiance of the sun. And men shall know that these have an anointing of Almighty Yahweh. It's either that, and that is the truth. I don't take it back for you nor you. I say what I say, and I don't repent of it. I don't twist my tongue, and I don't apologize to not one of you all. Not one bit at all. Whether you receive it, whether you acknowledge it, whether you say it's true, and that is the truth. For it's one thing about the Father's name. It is a holy name. It is not a damn name. It is not a damn name. His name, He will damn you in that name, but His name is not a damn name. It's not a damn name. It is a holy name. It is reverence and it's holy. It is a name to be feared, is what Scripture says. His name ought to be feared. What name ought to be feared? Well, the Father has a name, and the Scripture says His name ought to be feared. And that's the truth. So these men, they have something that I don't know of, and I don't particularly want to know of. And that's the truth. They have found a place with Yahweh that there's a worship and a place whereby they can cry out unto Him without any interventions, anything to impede Him. And their hearts are lusciously after Him. And they will allow nothing, not a television, their lusts. They've given themselves over every kind of vow, unclean thing there is. I know what I'm saying. I know what Satan offers. I know what he expects. He wants the soul of man. He wants the man's soul, that he may dwell in a man's soul, that he may get worship. That's what he wants. He wants all the accolades and all the praises of glory. Now, I do want to read some scriptures, and we will see whether this is in the text or whether it is not. It says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13, you write this down. Be like the Bereans. Receive it with openness of heart and mind. And then you search the scriptures.
I say to you all, saints, I will warn you again, I do not want to be responsible in any way of leading one wrong in error out of the path of righteousness. I don't want to be like Balaam. I don't want to do that, saints. Whom Yahweh has blessed, no man can curse. And whom He has cursed, no man can bless. I don't want to do that. When you began to walk in error, you began to speak a doctrine that's not according to the will of Yahweh. You began to draw away disciples to follow you. You do not lead them into the path of righteousness. Woe unto your soul. And that is the truth. You're not going to get by. You may think you're going to get by, but you're not going to get by. You're going to have to answer to Almighty Yahweh. You're going to have to give an answer for that. That's why He tells the preachers and the righteous men to warn the righteous and the wicked. You tell them of their sins and their corrupt ways, that they don't fall deep in to sin. You tell the righteous man, don't go that way, for you're going to lose your soul. You tell the wicked man, come out of that, denounce that. And if you don't know, if you're not certain about a thing, you study to be quiet. Just be quiet. And then Yahweh will give you revelation and understanding. Now this is what the scripture says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto Yahweh, he said, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and they say when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the Elohim of your fathers have sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, now this is what they ask him. He said, they're going to say this. What is his name? What shall I say unto them? What is his name? Tell me his name. I want to know his name, first of all. You must understand the rituals of the pagan Egyptians. They had a they walked in pantheism. They had all kinds of gods and magicians. Don't you understand one of the first things that Moses did when he cast down his staff and it became a serpent and they cast down theirs? So they know they knew of gods now. And the children of Israel, they knew of all these gods that was throughout Egypt. So that's the first thing they want to know. Moses said, first of all, above all things, they want to know, what is his name? Tell me. If you did, if someone called for you, someone says, well, the king of this nation called for you. You don't know the nation where he's from. You're going to ask, what is his name? That you're going to ask that. You can say what you will of me. What is this king's name? And they say, it is President George Bush. Well, you know that name. They call out a name you don't know. You begin to say, no, that name doesn't sound familiar. I don't know that name. The first thing they ask, what is his name? They ask Zacharias and Elizabeth, what shall you call his name? They want to know what you're going to call his name. What is his name? Well, Yahweh had given them the commands of his name. His name was Yohanan. That was his name. And so Yahweh closed the mouth of Zacharias until that time, until Yohanan came forth. And he said, give me a table. And he wrote down, this is his name. And they marvel at that. They said, all right, he showed him back down on that one. So they asked, what is his name? They tell me his name. Was he some kind of Lord, some kind of strange spirit? No, he had a name. Just like you got a name. Just like everything in the earth has a name except Almighty Yahweh. He's just known to us as Lord and God. No, he has a name. And this wicked generation don't want to identify with that. They don't want to give glory of his name. That's why they despise the name. He wants his name glorified and lit up in light. They glorify everything but his name. His name is a holy name. It's a pure name. It's a righteous name. It's not some pagan name. It's a righteous name. He wants his name to be known. Why? Because he has a name. And his name is Yahweh. That is his name. No other name like his name. He said they're going to ask, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? What shall I say? Tell them that I am the only one. Those other pagan ones, they're not right. I am Yahweh. That is my name. I don't believe that Moses just went with I am that I am. I am that I am Yahweh. That's who I am. There's no other beside me nor before me, because I am the self-existent one. All of the other ones are made by me. I created them all, and they all know me.